Sorry, if everybody could take their seats, we would like to continue. Test. Jetzt? So, now. Now it's working. So, for our next speaker, we have Mr. Douglas Bagnall with What Should We Do With Our UI? Have fun, everyone.
Yeah, hi. So I'm talking about our command line user interface, the interface that sysadmins use, not the end users who just use their Windows machines or whatever. It's kind of haphazard. It appears to have grown organically over time and occasionally been replaced with a new thing that doesn't replace the old one. And sometimes things are well abstracted and sometimes they're not. And it's kind of untested as a user interface. There's never, I think, really been any thorough investigation of how people use it. And the problem is that nobody can fix it because, like the expert users, like some of you in the room, you know how it works. You can just see past all the flaws, and or maybe you curse, but you just keep using it as it is, and you can't really see what should be fixed. And then the new people are just completely baffled by it. They can't see what, they don't know whether they're not getting it or whether, in fact, the tool is complete rubbish. And we can't drop old options because everyone's got big long scripts with the old options in them, and we can't just ignore them. So it's like it's an API that you can never change, except you can always put a new thing on. So we will. I'm going to use a concept from linguistics called nerd view. I'm going to discuss this briefly. This talk is going to be like a series of lightning talks because I'm just going in all different directions. So this first one is about nerd view. Now that's a term invented by, well, coined by Jeff Pullum, who's a famous linguist. And it's about when the jargon, this language of the art inside the development community or in traffic management, it's the traffic engineers, when their language kind of leaks out into the user interface. Now this is a simple example. The annoying thing is if you actually stop and read the regular expression, it's a really stupid regular expression. It's not even good nerd view. But now here's another example. Here's a sign telling you not to park here during these times. But it's in Edinburgh. To the Edinburgh traffic planners or parking planners, peripheral controlled zone has a special meaning. That has no relevance to anyone who's trying to decide whether to park there or not. It's just like it's their nerd view is leaking through. And like here's one, I think this one is from somewhere in England. They don't tolerate ASB. Now that's clearly that's a police term, you know, like jargon for antisocial behaviour, which most people. Well, maybe in that part of the country, the people who are going to be antisocial, they start to learn this term. But, you know, you can imagine a lot of people who are reading the sign have no idea what's going on. And manifestations is a term of the art in glass door design. So I think it's reflections it means. And so the people who were making this sign on the door were saying, look out if you don't see reflections or something. Note there's a panel here, you might not see it. They could just say, well, they could put anything there because you just need something there to see. But here's another one. You know, you don't. We know what a query means, but the user of this machine doesn't. And another one. So I found that these I just searched for NerdView on the internet, and this is one of them, SMB client. And here's another example. This one isn't an image. So this is a really useful error message if you're developing Samba tool, because you can see where it went wrong. Let's just make sure, in case anyone wants to read the whole lot. Okay. This is an aspect we can fix, because I don't think anyone's going to parse standard error for the exact string. As part of their script, we can change the error messages to be less nerd-viewy. But now it's really hard to spot, because the users that we're talking about who use these tools, which is less many of you in the audience, you're specialists in your own right. You have your own nerd view, and it kind of overlaps with ours as developers. And we want to be using yours. We want to be using your jargon and not our jargon in these tools. But we can't really see the difference, because we don't know your world or that well. Most of it. Well, I don't. I mean, I don't use Samba at all. I just make up badly designed scripts for you to use. And there's not many people who are actually Samba developers and Samba administrators at the same time. I mean, is anyone in that boat here? Right. So who's the developer? I put up your hands. I know I can see many of you. Who's a Samba admin? So there's kind of like. There's a big overlap in our jargon, but we're not even talking about the same things. Anyway, so what we need is people who are able to spot developer jargon in the output of our tools. And be able to explain that isn't what you would need to know as a Samba user, as a sysadmin, or whatever you get called if you're a Samba user, and write a report, put a Bugzilla report in. But the trouble is, when you're putting a report into Bugzilla, you end up, you know, you have to do components and categories and all these kind of things that are completely developer nerd view that, you know, outsiders can't really see. So, okay, now I'm gonna ignore nerd view and go on to my second lightning talk, which is about mentioning prior art in this field of ranting about our command line tools. I'm just gonna focus on the last say 2 weeks. So, like Steve French. He noticed that, or he pointed out that minus K means all kinds of different things, vaguely related to Kerberos. And Roland said, oh, but you forgot this one, or these two. And then Andrea said, I'm going to fix it by adding another option on top of the other ones. So this --- use Kerberos, they're actually, I gripped for it in the source code. It's in there in the comments a couple of times, because the long form of -k is --- Kerberos. But whoever wrote the comment in whatever C file forgot that the --- Kerberos wasn't Deschutes Kerberos. So there's already confusion about this years before it's even come about. Anyway, so I think this is a good idea. But it's kind of a problem because fixing the consistency across the tools by having a, you know, use dash use Kerberos to make do the same thing everywhere means every tool that has now has three different, well, dash K and dash Kerberos meaning the same thing, and then this new one meaning a slightly different one, or maybe the same depending how that tool worked. It's just going to complicate things for everybody. We can mitigate that by sort of hiding the other ones, dropping them out of the help and stuff like that. Oh, here's another one. So Alexander last year here, I haven't seen him. Anyway, he said everything should have a dash JSON so that machines, so that other programs could build on top of our crappy command line tools and make GUIs or web pages and stuff like that. And I agree with that. That's a good idea. But nobody is actually doing it. I mean, we've done a little bit, but we're not really racing through all our tools putting dash JSON on. It's sort of like, you know, we were doing one or two a year, and it'll take till 2050 to get half of them done. Okay, so then I thought, what's the best way to fix things? And that is to test them. And so I thought, well, if you run every program, if you run every program and see what the output is, and then see, like, a Unix tool, usually you run it with the wrong arguments. It says usage, blah, blah, blah. And I thought I'd just do that. But you can't really test for the nerd view and the inconsistencies between them and stuff very well in an automated way. And you can't test for what it doesn't tell you. Like if dash help doesn't tell you that you should use this other thing, then you can't do anything. So I ran every script to see what would happen in an automated test. And I was it would pass if it said usage, and it would fail if it didn't. And then I decided I'd run every end user tool, because like auto build jumped right out of the test environment into something that didn't exist, thankfully, there. And then there's like this other one, self-test filter subunit. It's wanting something in standard in, and it's going putting on standard out, it's a filter kind of thing. So it just waited and waited and waited. So I thought, well, I would, you know, it's never going to print usage unless you put usage in. And so it basically, and for the developers, everything that ended up in bin, I tested, and a whole lot of other things that and source for scripting and stuff like that. And then so all the ones that gave a traceback or something, I'd look at them, and if they were easy to fix, I would fix them like this. Kind of, this is an example, like you know, the get LDBs was failing because it didn't have the creds because there was no minus U or whatever, the paths weren't there. And so that's the place where it fails if you give it no arguments, and then so fix it. And I think some of the things actually try and do the thing if you give them no arguments. So I blacklisted a whole lot that I thought would be dangerous, like auto build, and like when you're running tests in a recursive loop, it sort of gets a bit spooky. So, and then I thought I'd test dash help, because that is a useful thing, and also the shorter the dash help H, because you want to know that. Well, you want your. I mean, this is a good thing every Unix tool should do. It should just, you ask it what it does, and it tells you how you use it. And I mean, I know they don't all do that, but it would be good if they did. And we could easily make all of our ones do that. But I got things like, I created a directory called dash dash help, And then I put another directory in there, and then I put a little smb.conf in there. And so I blacklisted that one. I'm not testing that one again. And then also, it was a bug in our test environment. It actually ignored that our test environment is meant to check inside this little, its own little universe, and it's not meant to jump out and try and do things to your real Sambo installation, which thankfully, because I don't use Sambo, I didn't have one. If I did, if you had run this test on a production environment, you would be cross at me. And I wasn't expecting, you know, like Python tracebacks. And so there were a whole lot of failures. I should have actually counted them, but and a whole lot of fixes. And there's some branches on GitLab. Ah, I didn't check that. Okay, I've got another one to check. So the question was, how many tools printed the correct name in the usage description? And the assertion was that most of them don't. I didn't check that. So a lot of them pass. So quite a lot were easy to fix, and it's there's a, you know, I think 20 are listed as known fails, that which is like a way of putting them in a to-do list for some other time, and there's a blacklist of ones, right? So then this is kind of going on to another subject. I noticed a while ago with the LDB tools like LDB search, LDB edit and stuff like that. If you go LDB search minus S, yeah, I was trying to give it a new config file, and it wasn't working. And then because I'd seen that you could give it a new config file with dash S. I don't know why I was doing that. And the help, and then I saw that actually there are two things with dash S and the help, and it didn't tell me which one was going to work, but it turns out the one I didn't want to work was going to work. And I have found the pattern that the topmost one is the one that works. So now if you grep for the dash little s, dash little I, dash big S, you see there's two things with the little S, and there's two things with the little I, and there's three things with the big S. Two of them are both talking about signing. I don't actually know. I don't know much about signing. Which one is the meaningful one? If either of them are, well, of course, the sorted would win in that, I think. So obviously, if you want to get something that isn't there with the short option, you use the long option, right? But it turns out that the long option is repeated. So there's actually no way that anyone can ever set the net BIOS scope with LDB search. And well, yeah, I haven't noticed any complaints about that. There are six things that have this problem. They're all the LDB ones, so I haven't done a test for it. And it's impossible to fix. It really is. It would be easier to change the database layer or something like that. But I mean, we know that. We've done that. But because the option parsing is in a third-party module, and, you know, we can't fiddle around with that. And it does all kinds of terrible things. It's not his fault. He's running away. So then I started thinking about cross-script consistency, which is going back to the dash K Kerberos thing, which is hard to test automatically for this. And there are lots of... But I thought if I looked at the help, I could kind of tell if the dash-dash help, if the dash-dash help says the same kind of thing, it might mean the same thing, which wouldn't actually work for the dash K. So it's not a very good, not a complete test. So in most cases, that we use the same options for the same things, and there are one, like these examples, the dash u username 63 say that, but they probably also take the percent password form because that's generally what you find. I'm not sure, but and the same with the update list that doesn't have an equals update list. Probably that means you give it an update list. And then these ones, like probably all the dash V means increase verbosity, but when it says increase verbosity, I mean, leads me to think that maybe you can add it two or three times. You know, that's the way that you can do it on some tools, whereas other ones that just say verbose output. So maybe we have an inconsistent pattern in our dash V, or maybe not. It's like a hint at it. And then the dash dash host, you know, one or two times we find that it can mean a host name, and other times it just has to be an IP according to the help. And then there are these ones, the timing data, replay rate, the dash T, we had a particular meaning that we were consistent on it. Then I came along and made a script that used it for timing data, and also the replay rate, that we were quite consistent with dash R meaning recursive, but there was that render one. But then the traffic replay tool has replay rate and timing data, so it's kind of okay to be inconsistent because it's a whole different domain, but it's maybe something we should look out for. And there's dash E is all kinds of things, dash O is all kinds of things, dash C, that bottom one down the bottom, it's probably my fault too. Cleanup. Oh, that slides in by mistake, actually. And here the dash F. It's kind of means the opposite, right? Fail fast is kind of the opposite of force. And dash B is just all over the place a bit. Base, well, two things, buffers or base DNs. Okay, so then I made another test that, or another script that went through Samba tool and looked at all the different options from Samba tool, because Samba tool has a different option set at every subcommand or every leaf node. And it turns out that Samba tool is quite consistent. You don't always get a dash V or a dash Q, but when you do, it means the same thing. It's kind of like one of them, the dash V is very specific about what it's going to be verbose about, but that's okay, I guess. And this is maybe the biggest difference I could find. I don't know if the cache records, cache stones are the same things or not there. So then I got to net. Net, if you go net dash dash help, it says I can't load your smb.conf. Now, because I remembered, I knew I could tell it where an smb.conf was with a dash s. And then it says to use this help command to get more information. It doesn't tell you what you're going to learn. And it just goes, there's a, you know, it would go off the screen to get all of them. But if you ignore that and just don't put the dash dash help on, you actually get the useful thing that you're almost exactly what you were trying to get. That is a list of the things. If you don't ask for help, you get it. If you ask for the help, you get told to ask help in a different way. Now, if you ask help in this other way, you also get the list of command line flags, which you usually expect with dash dash help, right? And if you do the thing that it suggested, to go help, 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 or just help, help, you get a verbose version of the same thing. It just says the usage is to do this that you were getting told before. So if you don't follow its instructions, you kind of, you do okay there. And now, if you go into the subcommands, net is one of these things with subcommands. The dash dash help doesn't give you the options. If you go to this one, there's dash dash help, it tells you not to do it. But then if you go, if you don't put the change secret PW in there, and you read through the help, it tells you more about this thing that it was you were asked about. It tells you more about it. Like, it tells you what flag you need to put on it, what flag you need to put on the chef, which is the force, probably, not the fail fast. Then if you actually go specifically into the, you know, asking about the that particular subcommand. So I think twice is perhaps underestimating. And well, then you go man net, you get all of these have different things. I've actually made a patch to make the last two pretty much similar. But like, if you're looking for how many dash dash something options there are in the man page, it's 54. There's 14 in the help. So there's something's missing. I mean, the help that net gives you if you ask it directly isn't very helpful. The man page is better. Okay. And there are, what's this one? ID map check. So occasionally you come into a zone within the net tree where it just tells you a whole lot of information. But I think when it says, well, no, yes, it does. I checked. When you look into the code, dash dash four, actually it's meant to be dash dash force. And occasionally it'll tell you something, but it'll tell you the wrong thing because it's a spelling mistake. I have fixed that one. And, okay. Right, so here is another case. You're asking it for help about notify. It tells you usage. Here, if you don't ask for help about notify, it complains to you to give you usage, and it gives you actual helpful messages about what it is. And but notify's not on the man page. And oh yeah, that's if that's the message you get from the top level help, one of the top level helps. There's three of them or whatever. And then so this one, user SID list, if you ask for help about user SID list, even though you're asking for help, dash dash help, or help, it just says could not get the list. But if you put some non-existing argument on the end, you get all the help. I mean, that's not the bottom of it there, but it keeps on going. So, I don't use these tools, so I don't really mind. But I was hoping I'd be able to write a test for the net command and walk the tree and do all the things that I was doing with Samba tool. But it's actually proven quite hard to find how to traverse the tree with all that, so I didn't get there. So my next idea was we could have a style guide for the command line. We could, good. That would, you know, tell us what to do. But I think none of us would actually look at it, right? Who developed the code would just add our flags however we go. So I'm not going to write one. So on to another topic, is bash completion. It's something that we could easily do. Like you go dash k and you go tab tab even though you're not meant to use dash k anymore. And it would tell you the three options that you would go next. Is that right? Are those options that would follow? Yeah, okay, good. Good, good. And then you... and then, you know, you just push Y and tab and it writes the rest of the yes for you, which I like that kind of thing. And the help system, the option parsing, actually knows everything that you need to know to write the bash completion file. In upstream bash completion, there is a SMB client, SMB get magic file to make them work. So we probably should make ones, because their ones will be out of date. We should, I don't know if those things change. But GCC9 has actually added a command, the option, dash completion, that gives, it's used via bash completion and things to give like contextual information. So wherever you're up to, you push tab, it gives you a command. I think this is how it works. It gives you a command line with a dash dash completion on the end, and GCC9 will tell you what you want to do next. So if you've gone minus L, it'll complete with all the libraries say that you could possibly do or something. And I don't think we should do that, but we should probably, like Samba tool could have an obscure option that you're not going to do by mistake, that is just going to walk through its help tree, generate the completions that you could complete with, and then you can put them into the file, you put them in the system file, and then you do your tabs and you get the completions that you might want. I mean, this is something we could do that might help people. So I really only have a question: is do we want the usage in the help tests and take the tab completions or the style guide or the dash dash JSON, or do we want the nerd view reduction? I mean, can we possibly do that? And that's really the end of my talk, I think. Yeah. So, do we want that? Oh yeah, that was a thumbs up. You were putting your hand up to say yes, you want that, not you want the microphone.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, first thanks. Is it on? Yeah, first thanks for picking this topic up. there is a strong difference between the Python tools and the C tools. I mean, this net tool is simply arcane. It's the best thing you can do is say, hooray, open source. I'll grab through the sources and see what it does. it's the best thing, literally. And all uncared for documentation lies. And the same is true for help text. And I think we can probably learn from what David Disseldorp does to the Samba Wiki. He's maintaining a lot of it, taking refreshing pages and so on. I guess you only get this started if someone like you picks it up and kind of starts being the gardener for this. And then others have to pick it up too. But if you don't have someone that looks for this topic, I think it's hard.
So the big trouble is you want somebody who knows what these things are meant to be doing. Like I don't know, I don't use net. I don't know what it should do, and I can't really write documentation for it. Well, that's my excuse, right?
My counterpoint to that excuse would be that Garmin knew nothing about Samba when he made the sb.conf defaults in the man page actually forced into the rest of Samba.
So Garmin would be a good person to pick this up.
what do you think about trying to forcibly link at least the man page and net either one way or the other, so that they build, one of them builds the other, so that at least they can't be inconsistent, even if they're consistently wrong.
I haven't really looked into Net about. I haven't really seen how it's generating what it's doing. I've looked at a few examples, but it's spread over many files, and it might be easier to have a test that just checks that everything is in both places.
Mm.
But it's actually hard to find everything that Net prints out. You need to do the right invocation. Right.
I think one thing you need to remember about Net is that despite the fact that it looks like you're calling a single binary, it's actually a mumbo-jumbo collection of different tools that was written by very different people and that's just sort of linked together by some linker magic and function pointers. And like it's a complete mess of code. I still have some vague memories of sort of delving into that like many years ago when I like fixed localization issues in there. And I mean, it's basically, so like the reason NetADS looks very different from everything else is that it's written completely differently and just happens to also link to the same kind of thing. So it's really like a completely separate set of tools written by somebody else, right? And I'm not sure sort of there's any point in trying to sort of delve into Net and try and fix things there. For some of the other things, I think really we need to have an option parsing library that actually stops you from reusing options, right? I mean, like that's the place right. Where it should be,
yeah.
Right? It should be like, no, you idiot, you already have a dash s, right?
Yeah, well, then we'd need to actually own the option parsing library rather than pretending we don't and using the one that we put in, yeah.
I actually, because I have to work inside Net, and I must admit I'm guilty of doing exactly what you do. When I need to know how it works, I look at the source code. But Net is actually a great place to do it, because each of those... Net expands out into a set of function tables, and each one of those function tables explicitly has to have a help option that is then supposed to print out something useful. So there is some internal consistency and logic to it. The problem is no one ever enforced... People would add options, and then there was no linkage between what people were adding and the output from the help function. And so that's why it's extremely confusing. And sometimes, well, when you're giving it with no options, I think it just by default calls the help function. But if there isn't one, it goes back up the tree, I think, and calls the other one.
Right.
ADS only uses that table on the top level, and then for all the subcommands, it does something else.
Yes, that's right. They have their own tables with their own help function. And yes, Jim was the original. So if you actually do want someone to fix it, Jim is probably the...
Oh, good.
Net is an interesting one to work on because it actually is a grab bag of extraordinarily useful functionality. And you know what? I wouldn't worry too much about breaking everybody's scripts because... I very much doubt that Net is used in a lot of scripts. And if you can make Net consistent, you can make anything consistent. and you know, if you put in the release notes, hey, we changed the way Net works, people are just going to have to update their scripts.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Simply put it in the release notes. You have this table, we will deprecate option foobar. Yeah, yeah.
So, any last questions? Because we're kind of running out of time, so a quick one.
First, I was wanting to say that I agree with the one at one point in time it's better just to say we clean it up and put it in the changelog, otherwise it will stay that way all the time. And another comment that I think very very interesting is that when you tap Samba tools and it will list the different options when after you add domain and after you want to remove another DC, you will type demot, but then it will start to demot your own DC while you want to demot another one. Hopefully, most of the time it's just throw a stack trace. I don't know why. That's good, but but for many people, I think people with heart problem might die on that one. And, And another one for the backup tool. I think Garmin is you have some bad domain backup and backup restore. so this one is a funny one. You're adding the restore after the backup as a subcommand.
Right. Yeah. All right. Thank you.